Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Qué Golazo. We have Jimmy Conrad and James Bench as we celebrate our 100th episode. And we'll be talking about, of course, Manchester United going top of the table. We discuss Thursday's action, including Arsenal versus Crystal Palace, Supercopa de España, and Copa Italia, and so much more. Stay right here because Qué Golazo 100 episodes begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Qué Golazo, Jimmy Conrad, James Bench. It's our 100th episode. I get to use my sound mixer again. Love it. Jimmy Conrad, how are you, bud?
I'm excited for this 100th episode. I got you something, Luis. People can't see it on the podcast, but it's a little tiny trophy. Oh, and it's, it says you're number one. So,
are you ready? Pass it over, and
I'm gonna pass it over. There you go.
One,
I don't know.
Two, three. Grab it.
Yeah. Got it. So, congratulations, man. You get to pass all of the credit to other people, but you're the glue that keeps this whole thing humming. So, fair play to you, Luis. All 100 episodes.
I appreciate you, but this is teamwork, baby, and part of our team, of course, James Bench. Bench, how are you, sir?
I'm great. I can't believe we've done more episodes than The Sopranos. I was going to say Community, but they've done 110. But I'll let you know when we've done 111.
They did. And we'll have a better ending than The Sopranos ending. No, I kid. But welcome, everybody, to Qué Golazo. This is our 100th episode. Amazing that we started in mid-October and we've just kept going, delivering you to you everything, the beautiful game, betting analysis, fun. But of course, let's talk about now as we preview Thursday's action. Listen, before we do that, I want to quickly talk about Manchester United. Top of the table, the first time after 17 games since December 2012. It's been such a weird season. Let's begin with you, Jimmy. Manchester United, top of the table. Well done, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Well done. What do you make of it?
They're so good away from home. I mean, they are excellent away from home. There's just something about them. They're cool, calm, and collected. Thought a real professional performance against Burnley yesterday. And I think now I'm curious what happens with Paul Pogba. I'll be honest. Yeah, I think he was resting Fred and McTominay for the big match against Liverpool this weekend. And what do you do with Pogba? He scored a fantastic goal. You know, when he plays with confidence, he is a difference maker. We all know that. World Cup champion, of course, and super talented, world-class ability. Does he always fit into every single lineup that Ole Gunnar rolls out? No, but I'm curious now as to what you do. This is a good problem to have, obviously, as a manager. You have a lot of options. But I wonder now, because he's a hot hand, scored the game winner. That could be one of the biggest goals of the season, frankly, right? They needed that confidence boost to say, hey, we can be on top of the table in this league. We are good enough. And now I'm curious to see what that turns into heading into this weekend against Liverpool, who now have had 9 days of rest. It's the longest stretch for their whole season where they've had a more than a week to relax and prepare for a game. So this is going to be a cracking affair, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes that game this weekend so much more exciting. James Bench, you've been fighting off Man United fans on Twitter. How did you feel about that win? And of course, now United top of the table.
Yeah, I mean, it was really Man United this season where for a lot of the time I was quite underwhelmed, but they just throw so much individual talent at these problems. You know, the problem with Burnley, well, if Marcus Rashford can pick out a cross like that and Paul Pogba can hit a volley like that, it doesn't really kind of matter that much. But you don't have an identity, that you don't have a system, that you don't have a midfield that kind of really functions. You certainly don't have a midfield that could go into battle against Liverpool's strongest midfield. And all that just sort of counts for absolutely nothing, because you've got half a dozen top quality attackers who will continually bail you out. And that's all fine. Like, Man United fans will listen to this and think this is a criticism, but actually, sometimes the best thing to do if you've got this attacking talent is hand the keys over to them. Don't worry too much about, you know, building a system that can kind of carry you through any ups and downs of form. Just trust that if Bruno Fernandes doesn't win the game, if you Paul Pogba will, and if Pogba doesn't, Rashford will. I don't think it's enough to get you a title, especially when City start rolling, but it's going to be really fun. It's going to be a roller coaster of madness.
I have a question for both of you guys, because I got asked this by a friend and they said, do you feel like you can really win a Premier League title with Harry Maguire and Lindelof as your center backs? And I was like, well, you know, they're not Rio Ferdinand and Nemanja Vidic, you know, they don't have that type of presence. And I feel like you do. And when I look at Harry Maguire and when I look at Lindelof and Bailly and when those guys step in, they're doing well this particular season, but they don't really look like Premier League winning center backs, in my opinion. And I was kind of curious as to what you guys thought.
Well, if J.R. Smith can win multiple NBA titles.
Done. Enough said. I'm out.
No, listen, to be fair to Harry Maguire, he's been improving and he looks much better these days. I mean, there was one specific moment yesterday when he was just driving up the final third like he was Bernardo Silva. It was kind of like crazy. And he didn't give the ball away. So you got to give them credit. But I do want Benji's answer to that. But also, it's funny because from both of you talking, I felt that the appraisal was more towards the squad as opposed to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Is that a fair assessment, or can we say to Ole Gunnar that he has imprinted something? Because I agree with you, James. There's no identity yet still. It's more about relying on the ultra-ridiculous talent that they have. I'm not taking anything away from them. They're top of the table. But is it more because of this squad just getting it together as opposed to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer being a tactical genius? That goes to you, Bench. And then, Jimmy, you can add, of course.
So the thing is, I think Solskjaer's coached individual games quite well often this season. I mean, for me, the prime example is when they absolutely destroyed RB Leipzig, because he spotted that there was a weakness in midfield, and he packed that centre with a diamond. I thought he got his tactics right against Man City as well.
And Leeds, throw Leeds in there. I thought he outcoached Bielsa for sure in that one.
But then you have the loss to Istanbul, the ridiculous destruction against Tottenham. So it's like, it's so inconsistent, which is why I was on HQ like a bunch of times. You know, one week I was praising them, the other one like criticizing them. I know that both of you were doing the same thing. So it's very weird to me. And obviously, I know Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be the first one to say, look, it doesn't mean anything that we're top of the table right now. Right. But it is commendable to a point. I'm just trying to figure out, especially from what Bench said, like, you know, when one player doesn't, you know, deliver, another one will. And is the success more because of what they have as opposed to what Solskjaer is doing?
I'm going to jump in and say that I think Ole Gunnar seems to manage very similar to Sir Alex, who seemed to be more of a man manager, right? He was more of a player whisperer. He was trying to get and push the right buttons for his players. And we could argue he's done a very good job. Rashford and Martial have really blossomed, I think, and have taken bigger steps in their career since he's been in charge. That said, that might've happened anyway, right? As they get older and a little bit more experienced, you know, who's to say how much credit Ole Gunnar deserves for that? I worry about who the right-hand man is. You know, they've got Carrick. They've got, you know, he doesn't have a lot of experience. They're bringing Darren Fletcher in as well. I think Mike Phelan might still be there, but I just feel like Carlos Kiroš back in the day for Sir Alex was the one that was really running the tactics, was really, you know, implying the style. And then you'd have Sir Alex that was man managing. I don't know if they have that tactical person who's that number two, strong number two that is creating that identity, to Benja's point. That's where I think they're lacking a little bit in terms of how do they move, what they're going to do. And until they can lock that in, then we're going to still get a lot of these individual performances and hope that they, you know, somebody steps up and plays well. And if they don't, you know, then they struggle and then they lose games that they shouldn't. And so, I don't know. I find it pretty interesting. Maybe the balance of the coaching staff is a little bit more of an issue than we're discussing or have so far.
Yeah, bench.
I just, you know what? It's sometimes it's all just so, this sport in England in particular, it's so silly. It's kind of defined by much. Arteta was talking about this in his presser yesterday, and I'm sure we'll come on to talk about this, but it's, you know, this is a game that's defined by swings of one goal. It's not, you know, this isn't NFL. This isn't basketball. You can just get lucky for a season. And I think luck plays a much bigger part. And Man United might get lucky. Man United might get more penalty. It's the penalty thing. It's the Man United win a disproportionate number of penalties because they have fantastic attackers who run at defenders and draw fouls. But they've also been lucky with a lot of penalties. Both of those things are true. And I look at Man United and I just think, and this is, you know, it doesn't feel like good football analysis to say this, but maybe this is just a year where things break in the right way for them, you know, like Liverpool's defenders break in the right way for them. And then, you know, other teams drop points they shouldn't. And then you only need to be a 7 out of 10 team to win the title. And I don't think it'll happen. I think City will do it, but I can certainly now see a world, a terrifying world, where Man United win the titles by running their club quite poorly.
Even more than Tottenham? Imagine if Tottenham did it, Jay.
The shade that Ben throws at Man United is awesome.
I know.
Like, I think you guys are a good team, but you lack identity. I don't even know what the hell's wrong with your team. It's amazing.
All right, let me ask this. Just final one quick. Like, has the I'm sure you have your picks for winning the Premier League at this point. Has it changed a little bit? Jimmy, who do you have? I know that we just heard James Bench. City, you think City will win it, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think City's probably the favorite right now. They've locked things down defensively. I think that's the most important thing. I think that was a big point of emphasis heading into this season, and they've proven it. They're the best defensive team in the Premier League, and now they're starting to find that balance of, hey, we can also score a lot of goals, right? We still have a lot of talented players. And once they start to lock in both of those things, it could be lights out for everybody else. So I like City too.
Yeah, so Ben, you're City too, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I'm sticking with Liverpool. I don't know why. I respect it. Love my come up. All right. So that was Manchester United chat. Feel free to send your angry tweets, United fans, at James.
Straight to Ben's James Bench.
We will be right back, because now we will go back to the games that will happen on Thursday. Stay right here.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody. Que Golazo Pod, our 100th episode with Jimmy Conrad and James Bench, as we preview now Thursday's action. Not that many games, at least from a European perspective, but some important ones. Let's begin, of course, in the Premier League. Jimmy Conrad, we have a London derby here, Arsenal against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, so the basic line straight up for Arsenal to win is -175. So they're the favorites coming into this. The draw is +295. And for Crystal Palace to somehow eke out a result, even though they've been struggling, +525 for them to win. They do have Arsenal's number a little bit, I think, over the last couple times they've competed. But I don't know if I really see it. Arsenal in good form. They've won 4 on the trot. And what I really think has been most impressive from Arsenal's perspective is the clean sheets. They've given, they only have 3 out of their last 4 games. They've scored 10. and only given up one, and that was against Chelsea. I think that Chelsea game was a big turning point for them, gave them some belief, and they went out and started beating teams that they should beat. And I know it took them into extra time to beat Newcastle, and if Andy Carroll wasn't Andy Carroll, maybe they would have lost that one. But I don't want to get into any Newcastle talk, all right? I'm a little bitter about that whole situation because they lost to Sheffield United yesterday, which is embarrassing. That was the first Sheffield's first win of the season. So I really like what Arsenal's got going in this one. I can kind of see a 2-1. Would I really like Aubameyang scored against Newcastle? I think that's going to be good for his confidence. I'm going to stick with the hot hand here. I like him to score. Arsenal to win either 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1 at plus 480. I like that one a lot. But if you're feeling okay, Aubameyang might not be your horse in this regard, you can still do the same thing and get that same score lines. Lacazette's plus 360. Smith Rowe has been excellent. He scored against Newcastle as well. That'd be plus 1,000. If you're feeling another younger player, Saka, plus 650. So I think any of those players will hit the score sheet, just no matter which horse you want to pick. And I do think they're going to win. And it's going to be another good day. And Arsenal's going to have 5 on the trot, which is going to be good for their confidence heading into the rest of the month.
Great stuff there, Jimmy. James Bench, the latest on the squad and Arteta as he looks ahead to, as Jimmy said, another win and hopefully a continued run here for the Gunners.
Yeah, it's all going swimmingly for Arteta. I remember we were talking quite literally less than a month ago about whether he was under pressure, and he wasn't, at least internally. But now, the squad is growing. I think Jimmy was really right to hit on this defensive point. He's found a pairing in Pablo Mari and Rob Holding. I think they cost a combined £6 million, and they look excellent. A bit slow, but he can bring in Gabriel. He's back from COVID. Thomas Partey back again. And, he is going to be a transformative player for this team. Arteta was keen to say he makes players around him better. And I think that's such a rare, special quality and something that Arsenal needed in midfield. Even Gabriel Martinelli, he won't be fit, but he might be available for Monday's game against Newcastle. So it's all coming up roses for Arsenal. I love the look of their attack right now as well. The defence has got praise, but I think with Lacazette in form, there's so much you can do with it. You've got Saka wide on the right and you've got Smith Rowe at the 10, two great young players. Aubameyang is looking better. He's getting into goal scoring opportunities. It's still like the service has not been up to the level that it has been in past years for him. And I think that's really why we've not seen him scoring. But if Lacazette's doing it for the time being, that's great to roll with, those two hot hands. It's a strong team and I can't see them not winning this.
Yeah, and with the return of Thomas Partey, that also adds so much as well. Lacazette, by the way, looking happy, looking confident. And like me and Aaron West said a few weeks ago, all he needed to do was just shave his head. Just like admit to the fact of your receding hairline. Just shave it. Just go all out and you'll be happy and content. Listen, here's a question for both of you. Jimmy, let's begin with you. One of the things I think that have benefited Arsenal in Europa is probably this now. The fact that the young kids were playing in Europa from the very beginning, getting experience against older opposition, different opponents. And I think that you can see the fruits of that labor now. I mean, people like, Emile Smith Rowe, the De Bruyne from Croydon, right? Saka, et cetera. All these players that are young, but like because they're playing against different types of opposition, older players, et cetera, this is now helping them in the Premier League right now. What would you say to that?
Are you saying different or easy? That might have been the easiest Europa League group I've ever seen. And they handled it with aplomb. Don't get me wrong. They did the business and beat teams that they should. But to your point, that's me throwing some shade at Benj's Arsenal. But I would say that it was a good opportunity. And at some point when we do talk about Liverpool, probably tomorrow as we preview the big games over the weekend, I think they've benefited. The silver lining of having a lot of injuries is you have to throw people out there you might not throw out there in a normal season when everybody's healthy. And you see what they're made of. You see how they handle adversity, how they make decisions under pressure. And I think you get to see that. And Nketiah is a good example, right? He had a good run out in the Europa League. He's gotten his chances and he hasn't really taken them. So cool. We move on to the next person. You step up. Lacazette's now starting to find his form. I thought Pepe was excellent in the Europa League group stages. So you can kind of see what he's made of. And I think it's all a big benefit. For me, though, when I look at their schedule, they got Crystal Palace. They play my Newcastle next. These are games that they have to win. If they really want to get in the top half again in the table and really start to say, hey, listen, we had a slow start, but we're figuring it out and we're going to finish in the top six. They have to win these games. Like if they drop any points here, it's going to be much harder for them to gain those points as the season continues. So I'm curious to see if Arsenal, and they've done it so far, they've won games recently that they should win. can they continue to maintain that? Because if they drop points, you're going to get back into that Arteta, is he good enough thing? Maybe we should have hired somebody else. And they just need to move away from that. And yeah, I know the ownership group seems to have done that, but the fans haven't, right? The Arsenal fan TV in particular make a great deal of money when Arsenal loses, you know? So because more views, more people are watching when they're upset. So it's interesting, the whole like just the dichotomy of Arsenal, both on and off the field, and kind of what motivates everybody that supports the club.
Yeah, well, with a win, and obviously depending on the actual score, they could go to 10th above West Ham. Both of you have victories. What are your exact score lines? You said 2-1, Jimmy? Is that what you said?
I'll say 2-1. I like Aubameyang to score. I think he's just going to kind of build off of that confidence he got against Newcastle. If they win 2-1, you go exactly that, or 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, and Aubameyang scores and Arsenal win, it's plus 480. I like that value a lot.
James Bench, your predicted score line here?
I'd say 3-0. I think they're playing really good football. I think they're going to win this quite comfortably.
Yeah, well, that would be really good for my fantasy, actually. All right, let's move on. Spanish Supercopa, Real Madrid facing Athletic Bilbao. What do you have for us there, Jimmy?
So first and foremost, I feel bad for Marcelino. He took over Athletic. Maybe the worst time. He played Barcelona first. He was supposed to play against Atletico Madrid. The plane couldn't land, so they had to delay that game. And now he gets Real Madrid in the Spanish Super Cup. I mean, could you pick three worst games to start with in your career as a manager? He lost 3-2. I thought they win at Barcelona a little bit. I was impressed by that. But Messi's starting to be Messi again, and being in peak form. So that's always going to be tough to defend. Maybe with a little extra rest now because Real Madrid did have to go to Osasuna and play. And Zidane was pissed about it. Thibaut Courtois was upset about it. They had 70% possession, had a couple good goals that were called offside, and just they got 0-0. They only got 1 point from it. They're a little upset. And so I'm curious as to if that's going to carry over into this one. Athletic probably still trying to find their identity under this. I like Benzema to score. The last time these two teams played, it was 3-1. Benzema scored twice. Now, there was an early red card for Athletic, just so there's that caveat in there. And Benzema scored late when everybody was tired. But he hasn't scored in his last three games. I think he's going to be primed and ready to go. So I like him to score anytime plus 115. I like Madrid to win and both teams to score. I think Athletic will hit the back of the net. I like Iñaki Williams a lot in particular. That's plus 240. And then if you want to kind of combine those two, Benzema to score, Madrid to win, both teams to score, is plus 450. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. And I'm centering a lot of things around Benzema because I think he's a little dry spell, but I think he's due.
Yeah. James Benj, you wrote this preview for the website, Real Madrid going for that 12th Supercopa. How do you see this one, especially as Real Madrid also has, you know, the headache of trying to catch up to Atleti in La Liga? How do you see this one?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that continues to fascinate me, and I know I've brought this up on the pod before, but Eden Hazard, injuries are unfortunate. And I think in normal circumstances, you get a bit of time to come back. And he's had a few games off the bench and started and was pretty woeful against Osasuna. The problem is when you're wearing that number 7 shirt at Real Madrid, when you're the left winger who's sort of basically the successor to Cristiano, there's no time to ease in. And it's been 18 months now. And, you know, Real Madrid did not sign Eden Hazard to give him an 18-month run-up to show his best form. He's getting on for 30, or is he 30 now? You know, it's getting a bit worrying and a bit frustrating. And I think he will know how quickly the Spanish press can turn on a big name like that. And I think Zidane was asked if he was going to be the next Bale. I'm just looking here. Marca said he was cold and anonymous against Osasuna. I think a lot of Real Madrid was anonymous, and the whole game was quite cold.
Literally.
He worries me. He wouldn't have been the player I'd have signed back then 18 months ago. They should have bought Son. He wouldn't have cost much more, and he's a much better player. But I don't want to relitigate that. I'd just love to see Eden Hazard do well, because I've seen a lot of great Eden Hazard performances and goals, often against Arsenal. It's a shame. It would be a shame if we don't see that in Real Madrid, because I know it meant so much to him to show his best in that white shirt.
Yeah, well, Real Madrid, they are unbeaten since December 1st, Jimmy. So you would think that also will favor them, as you said, in your lines as well. But, you know, we all want to see another Clásico, right? So I guess that's what's happening here. Real Madrid to beat Athletic Bilbao. And to your point, Marcelino is still trying to figure out, you know, the strategy, the exact situation that he wants to do with Athletic.
Yeah, I think for me, with regard to just focusing on Madrid for a second, is who starts. I mean, I know it looks like Hazard is supposed to start in this one. Vasquez probably will slot into the right back. I think Carvajal is going to be out for this with Ramos back on the team. And the guy's a winner. Winners win, and he's been doing it for a long time. Even though, as I've mentioned many times, he does dabble in the dark arts of defending. But, you know, that's part of his charm, I'd like to say. So I'm kind of curious. Fede Valverde, I think, will be pushing to get back into the team. But they've been pretty good about him since he's been hurt. Casemiro has been very solid. Never really gets the respect that he deserves. I think Cruz and Modric, I think, are on their last legs with Madrid. I think this will probably be their last season, in my opinion. And we'll see. I mean, Vinicius, Rodrigo, still waiting for those guys to kick on to be more consistent. I'm kind of curious as to what team Zidane is going to roll out for this one. With regard to Marcelino and Athletic, he likes a 4-4-2. He favors a 4-4-2. I expect a 4-4-2. That's not necessarily a formation they've been playing with a lot this season. So I'm curious, you know, when you're kind of focusing, you know, for a certain style and formation and philosophy and methodology for 3 or 4 months under one manager, and then all of a sudden somebody else comes in. And yes, you get that boost of like, I get to prove myself again. But now all of a sudden, maybe you're starting in different positions and maybe in different areas that you weren't comfortable with. I just think that's going to take a little bit of time. So I just, like I said at the very beginning, pretty unlucky that he had, you know, the three best teams in La Liga to have to contend with, to try to get everybody on the same page. So I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle. I think they'll show moments that they're tough to break down, and maybe we'll, I think they'll get a goal. I think it'll be 2-1 Madrid. But yeah, I think this may be a little bit too much right now for Marcelino and Athletic.
Yeah, and just the fact that Real Madrid's next game is not even until next Wednesday in Copa del Rey when they play Alcoyano. So they'll probably go all out for this one, especially since it's a semifinal in Supercopa. All right, exact scores. James Bench, what do you see here?
Yeah, 2-0 Real Madrid.
Jimmy?
I haven't thought about it very much.
I say 2-1. I'll say 2-1 Madrid.
I'll go 3-1 Real Madrid. How about that? Right. Marcelino right. will keep getting punished. All right. Any other games for Thursday, Jimmy Conrad? I know that we still have some Coppa Italia to talk about.
Yeah, the one that I'm looking at in Coppa Italia is Atalanta Cagliari. I think I said that right. I'm trying my very best. Atalanta have 3 straight wins, obviously have really surprisingly put this Papu Gomez situation in their rearview mirror. It seems like, all right, we're not going to have him anymore. And they just move on. Gasperini has done very well, and getting his players to say, hey, this is just part of the business, and we're going to go out and do the thing. Josip Iličić coming back into the team has been excellent. He's got 1 goal and 3 assists in his last 3 games. And then you have Duvan Zapata has got 4 goals and an assist in the last 3 games as well. So they have been very, very good. And quietly, they've scored a lot of goals again this season. They have 40 so far in Serie A. That's only bettered by Inter Milan in the league. And we'll see by the end of it if they have it or not. These two teams have already played each other. Atalanta won 5-2. Cagliari have given up an average of 2 goals a game in the league. So I suspect there'll be a lot of goals for Atalanta. I like Zapata to score again and Atalanta to win 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, plus 450. I think that they're printing free money on William Hill with that line, because I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, and the 3 straight wins for Atalanta, as you mentioned, means that really Gasperini is just like, enough. Papu Gomez, bye-bye. Let's just keep going and rolling. And it's not like this team is just about Papu Gomez. They have a tremendous squad. And with Cagliari not really winning in the last 5, I believe, lost the last 3 as well. So it's completely different journeys that they're both going to. James Bench, anything to add with Coppa Italia? Atalanta, such a force. And it seems that they have moved on, as Jimmy said, from their star creative player.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued to see where he lands, because all the reports in Italy, there doesn't seem to be any clear destination for him, maybe into Milan. But I'm most excited to see the return of Raja Nainggolan in a Cagliari shirt. I mean, this looked like it was going to be a really cool team at the start of the season. Guys like Giovanni Simeone, Diego Godin, man. Like some classic names, young and old, that you sort of thought might have, like, faded from relevance. But I just love watching Nainggolan. What's not to like about a chain smoking maniac who keeps scoring goals and has bizarre hair?
Very, very good point. All right, so exact predictions here, score predictions. Jimmy?
I'll say 3-1 Atalanta, because Cagliari does have some players that can hit the back of the net, and I think they will find a way to score. This is really it for them, right? I mean, they're either fighting relegation or trying to win this cup competition. They don't really have much else to play for. So I think they're going to give their best effort here and put out their best team.
How about you, my friend James?
again, I've not thought about this much. So let's say 4-0 Atalanta, because they're playing really well and Cagliari are not.
Well, you know what? It's when you think the least that sometimes the best decisions come out. So I'll go with a 4-0 as wow. well. I feel Atalanta will just keep rolling here. But could be wrong to Jimmy's point. Cagliari is not exactly like a terrible team or anything. I'm sure they'll be able to hold off. It's just that their run hasn't been great. All right, Jimmy, any final games, anything else? If there aren't, your final words, my friend.
Yeah, no other games. Obviously, there's going to be a big weekend coming up. So congratulations on 100 episodes, Luis. I'm very excited to be on this journey with you.
Well, you don't need to thank me. This is a team thing.
I know. You're always going to say that, but I'm letting everybody know at home that it's all Luis, everybody. It's all Luis.
See, I'm going to Venmo him right now. James Benj, how about you? Any final words as we say goodbye and we look ahead to your Arsenal facing Crystal Palace?
Yeah, congratulations to everyone except Luis. He's had enough. We don't need to inflate his ego anymore. Congratulations to all the people like myself and Jimmy who make this what it is.
Yeah, I knew he was going to. Well,
congratulations, Luis.
It's been great having you, Jimmy, and James on your final appearance at Kevin. Thank you, boys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and James Bench for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And if you're listening or if you have a smart speaker, just say, hey, Alexa, play the latest episode of CBS Sports Soccer Podcast. Or, hey, Google, play the latest episode of CBS Sports Soccer Podcast. It's amazing. You can do it right now. Just grab it and say it nicely. They might play it quicker. Thank you so much for listening and make sure that you stay tuned for the rest of the week. Have a great one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.